Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining us today is Don Wilson, founder of Prospecting Intelligence, LLC. Don's passion is about helping people embrace uncomfortable change to create better active prospecting habits that produce new opportunities. In 2020, Don released his first book titled, What's Your Ruby? Simple Strategies to Your Uncomfortable Path to New Opportunities, the subject of which was accepted as an idea worth spreading, landing him as a speaker for TEDx Bryant University. Don, welcome to the show.
How are you? A great year to release a book, right? 2020?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what I want to share with our listeners, actually, is Don has a very extensive career and things that he's done throughout his lifetime that was not mentioned in this brief bio. So I'd love if you could share just kind of like an overview of everything you've done throughout your time and kind of how that led you to where you are today.
Well, first and foremost, I do want to extend a sincere message of thanks for everything that you do with your show. I think it's fantastic, Ashley. And I'm really grateful for the chance. You know, when you say someone has an extensive career, that's just like another way of saying, wow, you're old. You've been around for a long time. It's true. So if I were to share a little bit about my little background story. So prior to my full-time professional career, I was a full-time musician. So, you know, I was the dude in the corner of the bars and restaurants and at colleges, you know, playing with his, you know, acoustic guitar all night, playing American Pie, Brown Eyed Girl, you know, all those songs. And that's how I basically paid for college and my master's degree back then. And eventually I realized I was a pop singer in a grunge world and it was time to get a job. And I got hired by this company right here. I actually still have the bag, Champion Mortgage Company, down in Jersey that was expanding into New England. And, It's a cool thing because that company, the first impression was they would say things like, you know, leads, contacts, referrals. These are human beings, by the way, and it's your job to create that emotional link to another human being. That's how you build a relationship and how these people turn into your fans and ultimately your sales force. And it was a very sincere way of business building. And that was my first impression, which I was a very lucky person for having that first impression. The little crew of us that got hired back in the 90s, God, when I was 27, you know, and now I'm 53, so it's half my life ago, we're still together, which is a really cool thing, I believe, anyway, when you work with people who are like your brothers and sisters. We started... actually, my friend David started a mortgage company and a few of us came along for the ride back in 2005. And here we are 18 years later, still together and still going. And along the way, I started a couple of other businesses as well. But it's hard to believe sometimes that I've been in business for that long.
Yeah.
Should I retire?
Hey, if you love what you do, maybe not.
Well, I do love what I do. And I think that's something so precious, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And, yeah. and some of the presentations I've been delivering lately on like goal setting, cause it's that time of year. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back on some of the things I was doing, you know, even when I went to Bryant University to play golf, I had the dream of playing golf, of being a PGA pro someday. But I think it was Denzel Washington. He's like, dreams without goals are just dreams, you know? And then I added mm-hmm. to it like, okay, goals without habits are also just dreams. And back then I didn't quite make it because my habits didn't support the goal and the dream of being a PGA pro. So I was already learning things back then. And even with my music days, like I had to walk into a bar. You know, see, Ashley, do you even know what a cassette tape is?
I do.
You know, it's like, you're so young. And it's like, you had to walk in with a cassette tape and a picture and my list and go, here's why I feel I should be playing here. And I didn't realize I was sharing my value proposition, you know, why me versus everyone else. So I was kind of like learning that stuff in life as it went. And then along the way, I just, you know, I ran into amazing mentors that that I really truly learned and developed my skill set from, to ultimately start my own little practice on the side with the book, when the book came out, and doing, you know, sales education, motivational speaking type stuff. So yeah, it's been a cool ride for sure.
Yeah. So just learning about the value of sales and how to do it properly throughout your entire career, like, what was that? Would you say that there was almost like a moment that kind of gave you that aha moment? You're like, I need to turn this into a business and teach other business owners how to do this as well. Or was it kind of more like a gradual interest into opening up Prospecting Intelligence?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. You know, I have three children. My oldest is now actually out in LA. She was known as the singing babysitter who landed on American Idol. If you want to Google that, babysitter.
Oh,
sings.
awesome.
My middle child is now a freshman in college playing soccer. And my son in 2009 was born with a congenital heart defect. So that was the moment where I was, all of those years prior, I was a straight commission, full-time, all referral-based mortgage professional. You know, you are a sales professional, but, you know, I was in the mortgage industry. And it was that point in my life where I'm like, can I still do this the way I was doing it? With the habits that I created and worked so hard to create around referral building. And I really didn't think I could. So at that point, I started to transition at our mortgage company to a different role, you know, started to take on some of the marketing work. You know, this thing, social media, came along, and we're like, what is that? And who's going to run with that? And eventually I put together a coaching platform, just an idea I had about accountability coaching to help people level up their game. And it really made me look at, what are the habits that I learned? What did I implement to really build a referral-based business successfully? And when it made me put it into a form, and then it worked, it did help people the word I'm looking for, pardon me. I didn't sleep very well last night. This could be really rough today. You know that, Ashley. you know, to let their career evolve and to get to a different level. Once I had it into a format, then I knew I was onto something. And I started to do presentations for our company out in the community, you know, to groups of realtors or financial advisors, other people that we would build business with. And it was really a true abundance mentality. Like, we're going to teach you the things that we do to get better at spending our time every day and as to how we build our referral business. And we figured that would come back to us. And it did. So after that worked for a while, I eventually, you know, made the proposal to the company president, like, hey, would you be adverse to me maybe starting my own brand on the side, putting this stuff together? You know, so it was available to people even outside of our industry. And because he's been such a mentor for 25 years, and he's really like a brother after all these years, he's like, that's your thing.
Yeah.
You know, I took my entertainment, which I used to really love doing, that career, and my sales career, and put them together into one. And the end of this story was when I finally got out of New England for the first time, and I did a presentation out in Kansas at a realtor event, and I brought this guy with me. You know, you don't see many 53-year-old men walking around with their stuffed animal from childhood. And I, you know, I did my short presentation about asking for referrals. And the role play I would do with the audience is, you know, tell me if you think I'm asking for referrals. Hey, Ashley, if you ever know anyone who could use my help, would you mind passing that card on for me? And usually people go, of course that is. And I go, well, all due respect, I don't think I asked for anything. I gave you a card and I ran, because it's uncomfortable to ask. So instead, I'm going to do something comfortable, which is the card and the run, and hope you call. And in that, you know, in the moment years ago, when I would talk about that, I would reference the movie Mr. Mom. I don't know if you've ever seen that, about this little kid and his Woobie, his blanket that he can't go anywhere without. And his dad sits him down Do you want the scene, Ashley? I'll give you the scene.
Yeah, go for
You
it.
ready? Okay. So it's Michael Keaton, and he sits the little boy down, you know, because he loses his job. So that's how he becomes Mr. Mom. Remember, it was the 80s. It's an older movie. And he sits little Kenny down because Kenny can't go anywhere without his Whoopi. And he goes, "Hey, Ken, you know, you and Dad have to have a man-to-man talk here about your Whoopi. Your Whoopi's looking bad, buddy." And he goes, "I know you little guys, you walk around with your Whoopis and all, and they're great. They are, but pretty soon the Whoopi's not enough. You're out on the streets, you're trying to score an electric blanket or maybe even a quilt." And then he goes, "Sooner or later, you're strung out on bedspreads, Kenny. That's serious." And it's this cutest little dad, father-son scene. But, you know, that's why I started to bring mine. I'm like, that's what he stands for. There's things we know we need to do to change, to improve, but we keep doing what's comfortable, like our whoobies, you know, when we're little kids. And I just started to examine how many examples in my life, or even in professional sports or music, where your ability to get uncomfortable to change something about yourself to improve is directly linked to success. And so that one concept, when I did that out in Kansas, the speaker who was a national speaker said, "I like that Whoopi thing." He goes, "You ever think of writing a book?" And I'm like, "I don't even know if I don't even like to read. Should I be writing anything?" And yeah, on the plane ride home, I started to map out chapters, and you know, it was unfortunate that it took till 2020 for it to come out in a year where the last thing people were thinking about at that point in that year was a book. But it all came together well. So that's the story.
Oh, I love it. And I love that you mentioned the part about people not directly asking because it's uncomfortable for them. And that's like, ironically, one of the things I wanted to bring up during our conversation was that sales is so uncomfortable for people, and that's why they struggle with it. And so, what are some like principles or tips or any directions you give to people if they feel that level of uncomfort and just getting past it? Because, like you mentioned, there's a direct correlation with people not acting because they feel uncomfortable and then not having any success because of that.
Sure. So one of the slides in my presentation to cover this very topic is from a show called Game of Thrones. So I don't know if you happen to watch that series. I did. And there's a character on the show called Tyrion Lannister, and he's played by Peter Dinklage. So he's a small person, okay? The smallest person on the show, but the biggest personality by far. And in the very first episode, he meets the protagonist from the show, Jon Snow, and he says to him this. He says, "Never forget what you are, and the rest of the world will not. Wear it like armor, it can never be used to hurt you." That was the best imitation I could do of him. And it hit me. And I'm like, that's us. That's the sales professional. It doesn't matter what you do, you know, mortgages, financial planning, selling it a physical product. We don't want to sound salesy. We don't want to do things like ask for referrals, which is your job, because it's a reflection of being salesy. And when you Google it, it is an actual word now. It doesn't sound like it, but it is. And when I think of that quote, "Never forget what you are," I think what we forget is what we're selling. And what we're selling is ourselves. You know, why should, you know, Ashley choose me versus everyone else that does exactly what I do? And your ability to articulate that. You know, I've trained a lot of realtors in my career. And I'd be in front of a group of 100 of them. And, you know, like for example, in the state of Rhode Island, there's 8,000 of them that are licensed. So when you do the math, it's like 9 per square mile. That's
Oh
like
my
crazy, right?
gosh.
So it's like, if you can't answer why me versus everyone else that does this, that's a problem. So when you think of that value proposition, just like walking into the bar with a cassette tape, you know, your ability to think that through and what truly makes you unique, special, capable, and being able to bring that down to maybe two or three words or a phrase or two. You know, it's not, "Hey, here's the top 10 reasons why I'm awesome." No one wants to hear that, right? And I don't have 10. There's no way, but you know what I mean. When you really think that through, make it very meaningful, and very particular to you and your style, your belief system, etc., and your ability to articulate that, especially if it's simple and easy to remember, because then other people in your network can say, hey, I'll tell you exactly why Don Wilson. Simplicity and delivery, those are the two keys to him as a speaker. Simple ideas, because he feels that people can actually take action on simple things, and he delivers them with a ton of sincerity and a little bit of humor. I'm going to do it again. Simplicity and delivery. So once you start to get that down, it you don't feel like a salesperson anymore, because it's a true reflection of you as a person, as a professional. And I think that makes it easier to convey to others.
Yeah, which makes total sense. And I'm glad that you also brought up unique value proposition because, like you mentioned, it's so important to know that and communicate that. But one thing that I personally see with the work that I do in marketing is that so many times business owners have no idea what their unique value proposition is. And when you ask them, they don't even know how to go about like finding that or discovering that. And so, do you have any advice on how people can do that, how they can really truly identify what sets them apart?
Well, I think it's a good exercise to look internally and what you feel is your value proposition. But I think the way you confirm it is you ask your clients and your business partners, and to maybe even throw the disclaimer in, Ashley, and go, hey, listen, you're not going to hurt my feelings, but I really need you to be honest with me, why you feel I did a great job for you as my client, or why do you choose to work with me maybe versus other professionals that do what I do as part of your professional network? What is it about me? And if you happen to be in, I mean, we are a very Google driven world, right? Five stars, let's hope you get that. Go back and read through your reviews, and you should recognize trends in what people think. And work that into that simple value proposition. I can't accentuate the simplicity of it, because if it's not memorable to others, it's great when you share it, but it's even better when other people share it.
Absolutely. And so, with the work that you do, both in residential lending and what you teach to your clients, do you focus primarily on referrals and teaching people how to build those, or do you also kind of dive deeper into other sales strategies?
Great questions. You are good at this, Ashley.
Thank you.
So God, in the moment of doing this podcast with you, I'm like, wow, I really do tell a lot of stories, but that's what I love to do. So there's a slide that I love to bring up as well that I think answers that question. And it's just like a picture of a map, like a treasure map. And what do they have? They have a little beginning point and then dots, right? Around the rock and through the palm trees, and then at the end there's like an X marks the spot, and there's the Massachusetts accent. It does come out every once in a while. Marks the spot. That's marks the spot. So, and that represents the treasure at the end of the path, right? So when I show that image to your question, I would say, so what does the X represent? Does it represent you, or does it represent your client? And I usually get like crinkle noses, like, the heck's he talking about? I'm like, just answer it. And some people will say, well, I think it represents me. Like, people need to find me. Some will say, I think it represents my client. Like, where am I gonna find my next client? And the truth is, there's no wrong answer. It's both. If your answer is you tend to come from more of a marketing perspective. Like, what can I do to make sure people find me? It's the opposite. If it's your client, that's more of a sales perspective, where, okay, while I'm waiting for the marketing to work, if you're into sales funnels, social media expert, whatever that is, put your face on a placemat. I don't care. You're waiting for it to work. Well, what am I doing with my time right now? What are my habits to find my next client while I wait for the phone to ring? Sales and marketing. But I think the powerful part to the answer to your question is that they go together for a reason. I'm amazed at how You know, someone will spend a bunch of time, you know, using Canva and getting the perfect post and then posting it, getting all this great action, and it, but then they stop. Versus, well, let's go into the people who like, commented, share, were so kind, reach out to them and say, hey, for what it's worth, it takes me a lot of time to put this stuff together. And I really appreciate it when people respond. How are you? Conversation, right? And conversation leads to business building. People will send an e-blast out. Okay, I wrote this brilliant e-blast. I found this cool image, stuck it right in the middle, sent it to my whole database. Done. No, not done. That's marketing. Go back in to that CRM a couple days later. A lot of them allow you to click and see who opened it and who maybe clicked through to your links. Call them. Say, wow, for what it's worth, it takes me a long time to put emails together. And when someone actually reads it and doesn't just delete it, that means a lot to me. How are you? How have you been? Conversation, referral building. So the map is a real, now you're really getting used to how my brain works. It's a mess up there. But no, I again, just like this is a simple idea, or the Peter Dinklage image, or the map. These are simple, memorable little ideas that help you connect to ultimately habits that help you build referral business. So that's kind of why I went down that road.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great advice that you shared. And it reminds me of this, I guess, quote unquote, old school thinking is that people used to have the mindset of build it and they will come, which is definitely not true anymore. You can't just build something and expect people to find it and come flocking. You really have to approach it as that two-way street and spend time yourself going out and finding those people. And so exactly what you shared reminded me of that it's so important to not wait for people to come to you. You have to actively seek them.
Yeah, you know, it's being deliberate about your time and how it's spent. And I was having this conversation just recently. And again, I have, you want me to share another one with you?
Go for it.
You sure? Okay. So I have it right here. So I don't know if you're a golfer, but a lot of golfers know what this is. Do you know the term? Oh, why did I have to pick this up when it's right behind me? Actually. So I finally got to go see the Masters, and you know it's a major PGA event that happens every year at the same golf course in Augusta, Georgia. It was a dream of mine to take my mom and dad, and I got to accomplish that dream in 2022. Now, when you go, you know, first of all, the ticket was $75, right? We go to park. It was a $20 donation to a charity. You know how much it costs to park at Gillette Stadium and Fenway, right? It's crazy. Then you start walking in, and you know the volunteers from young to older people would look you right in the eye and go, "Welcome to the Masters. Are you excited to be here today?" You know, and then you go in and you can't find a brown piece of grass. It's just beautiful. And then if you buy one of these chairs, which are the only chairs allowed in there, if you put it down somewhere, no one will touch it. Nobody. You can leave your wallet on it. That's aggressive. But I mean, okay. And by the way, you know what's not allowed into the Masters?
Cell phones.
So imagine that, right? But what happens? You completely are engrossed with the experience, the sights, the smells, you know, the sound. It's amazing. I finally want a beer. $3. Right?
That's
And the sandwich,
crazy.
it's crazy, right? Because I didn't want you to go, well, it was great, but the beer was $18. Or, and there's a funny story about going to the bathroom, but I'm going to leave that out of your podcast. That was another experience in itself. So the moral of the story was actually twofold. Number one, your ability to stay in the moment without distraction is a lost art form. And you know, at that event, there's no way to not be in the moment because there's no distraction. And that's why people who go have this amazing experience. The other reason is because they're extremely deliberate about everything that is experienced there. If you yell and scream or run inappropriate, like you're out and you're never let in again. Because they make Disney World look like a frat party. It's hysterical. And I think, it seems harsh, but we make a lot of excuses for our performance or our lack of business. And, I'm not trying to discount how hard it was the last few years and some of the, like the mortgage industry, 25 years, I've never seen it this tough, But again, I still wake up every day and I have a job to do. Marketing, sales, what are my habits to find my next client? How can I be deliberate about the time I spend? Because I know it's connected directly to my goals and the habits underneath them to accomplish the goals that I set. So your ability to be deliberate is truly important, I feel.
I agree. And I think that what you mentioned of really putting in that time and knowing that the input will directly correlate to that output you get is so important.
Sure, absolutely.
And so being in residential lending and also having prospecting intelligence, like how do you balance the two? I'm always so fascinated talking to people who have multiple ventures or multiple careers that they're balancing.
I don't. No, that's not true. No, it's hard. It's hard. I'm also, it's actually three hats. I'm also involved, part of the executive board for a networking organization called Networking Group USA. So truthful, as someone who's been at a Province Mortgage Associates from day one, that's my primary job. As marketing director there, I have that I have to prioritize that work because, we're there to support our brand and the 30 or so mortgage professionals we have out there working so hard because it's 100% referral-based business. I have to be on that game 100% of the time. However, I am able to budget my time well so that I can uphold another brand. And I'm also doing a lot of the same things with that brand. It was always meant to be a positive reflection on our mortgage company with what I was doing with this, because everything that I present to sales professionals and referral builders through prospecting intelligence, I learned with that crew of people in 25 years. And some of my mentors that I was so lucky to meet over those 25 years as part of that industry, that's where I got all of the habits for this. And then I take that and also apply it to the networking organization because, networking, if it's truly part of your business plan, you're investing your time wisely in regards to, helping people find business and earning it in return. So all three of them go together so well that I'm able to budget and prioritize my time. I'm not going to tell you it's always easy, but I think that's how it works so well. I think it can be really difficult for people at multiple ventures when they're not related. Because people get confused as to what you do. And that's how it works. And it's not always easy, but I think because I have the support from the people at the mortgage company to do these other ventures and they've experienced it all. Some of them are members of Networking Group USA. Many of them have read my book and know the stuff I teach and call me, to lean on once in a while. They all go together so well.
Absolutely. And then you throw your book on top, which that was, I think, is a really inspiring story of starting it because of the fact that someone told you you should write a book. And so I'd love to hear more about that process of how you really mapped out the chapters and what you really wanted to convey in the messaging that you shared within it.
So I think if I recall correctly, I'm flying home and, I was, you ever been given a challenge like that? And you're like, I'm not, I can do this. And I start thinking about, I just started to think about my life and kind of exactly like I started with you today. I went back to the music biz and, playing in bars and playing at colleges all over New England those years. I'm like, well, how did I do that? I started to examine how I did that. And then It's so funny that I still have this bag from training at Champion Mortgage. I'm like, it's a good bag, but it became a great prop to tell that story and then to fit all the stuff in it. But then I started to say, well, Champion Mortgage is a great chapter because of what I learned from those people and the first mentors that I had. And I think as I just examined my life and each phase of my professional career, that kind of lent itself to the chapters. And then I would just put the stories in there, the success stories and the failure stories. I've got some good mistakes in there. Like the time I was upset with a couple of people in this big sales center of 60 people as one of the managers. And instead of having the difficult conversation, which is a lesson in accountability, I would run from it because I was afraid. And then so I sat down instead and emailed the other five managers in the room, like we were all along the side and everyone was out here complaining about them. And then I sent it to the whole place instead by mistake. That's right. I mean, and immediately my friend started laughing from across the whole place because he knew I did it by mistake. And I go running into his office. I go, "What am I going to do?" He's, "I don't know. That's your problem." He's like, "No, you go to those five people and you apologize for conveying that to everyone using some not so nice words in the email and say, but I'm not going to apologize for what I said because I actually meant it. I just should have probably grabbed you one-on-one or got you together as a group and had this conversation." So I'm thinking of these stories going, that's pretty fun to share that. And then when it really came down to it, Ashley, where I had to put together, well, if you're going to talk about, well, you have to embrace change to succeed. You gotta figure out what your whoopee is. And I'm like, well, if I don't give them a way to figure it out, that's a pretty lame book. So I went to three of my mentors, one of them being Dave, the president of our mortgage company. One of them, this woman by the name of Karen Benz, who's one of my heroes that I've met in my career. And another friend who's a professional counselor by the name of Greg Carpenter. They helped me. I had an idea, but then they helped me crystallize the formula. And then it felt like a progression, awareness, acceptance of the things I'm good at, not so good at, action, which I wrote the one on about goal setting. That's, one of that was really the one I wanted to write. And then being accountable for keeping it going. And then it felt right. So it was a wonderful way. I'll tell you, writing a book's hard. Recording music in the studio in my days is a lot easier than writing a book. It's mostly the self-publishing. It gets difficult. I thought it was anyway, because every time I get a new version of the book, I'd find another 25 mistakes. I'd fix them, send it in, find another 25. It was brutal. Oh, it's so rewarding. And my buddy Karen, she's like, it's really a work of love when she read it. And she's like, because you love what you do, you love helping others. I'm one of those pure empaths. I'm completely wired to help other people succeed. I love to soak up negativity, give ideas, make you laugh once and say, now are you gonna go do this now? You need me to hold you accountable to it. But it was a way to also compliment these amazing people over the course of my career that if I didn't have them, there's no way I'd be on with Ashley today. No way.
Yeah, I
No.
love that. And what would you say is next for you? With everything that you've done and everything you've been working on, what would you say is next in your steps with Prospecting Intelligence or even in your residential lending career?
Getting my golf handicap down, that's what's next for me, playing more golf. I'll tell you, I'll reveal something that is part of the goals I just set for next year is I have a passion for speaking to y the younger generation. My daughter's age in the high school, the college age, and taking what I've learned in my life and bringing that to them. No, am I a leading expert? No. But I am, well respected within my community, my professional community for what I do. Am I an award-winning author? But no, but I am an author. And I've helped people figure. So, I put together a presentation like Take Your Whoopee to Work with You for kids in college or in high school, like Take Your Whoopee to College. And you can see where it's going. I really want to start to do more keynote speeches because, again, as soon as I was very lucky to get that TEDx event, that was a random thing, Ashley. The book wasn't even done. And I got an email and sent it in and got picked.
That's
I mean, I
amazing.
never imagined being on that stage. And then the book came out, but overnight I was a speaker without a stage, like instantly. Really weird timing, bad timing. And now that's come back quite a bit now. So
Yes.
I'd really like to go towards more keynote speeches, not only, in the conference world and the professional world, but I being a dad of three and seeing all that the younger generation has to deal with, a real bisected world, no matter which side of the bisection you fall, to help them just really look in the mirror at their character and their choices and being accountable for their own success by sharing my path of some success and a lot of mess ups and using this concept to help them figure out that it's okay to make mistakes and but you got to be able to willing to change so that you can improve over time. Ultimately, that decision is yours. It's nobody else's. So
Absolutely.
that's where I'm going next year.
Oh, I love that. And reverting back to our topic earlier about having a direct ask within your referrals, what would your direct ask be for helping people land you those keynote speeches with high school students or college students?
Well, when I ask clients, my ask for clients is, who do you care about that I can help for you today? And that doesn't quite answer your question, but that ask is something I had to learn myself and had to work on for quite a while before I got very comfortable with it. And it even started with my mindset of, well, if I'm a mortgage guy and I don't ask Ashley for a referral, and then one of her family members goes and the mortgage person ruins their life, that's my fault because I didn't ask. And if I don't ask now, I never do. So instead of the if you know of someone, get rid of the word if forever and change it to who do you care about that I can help for you today? So I think the answer to your question for those keynotes is what organizations are you connected to where you feel they could use a keynote speaker like me that loves to entertain, loves to be very sincere about myself, my ups and downs of my career and my life, to help people find new ways to change and improve. If you're looking for something like that, then I'm your guy. If not, you can call Tony Robbins. But I bet you
Yeah.
I'm cheaper.
I love that. I love that, Don. And speaking of support, and as we get towards the end of this episode, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. And I'd love if you could share with our listeners the places that you like to show your support to.
I support all local breweries.
Good
Well, my
choice.
favorite, yeah, so all of
What would
them.
you say is your favorite, actually? Do you have one?
I'm gonna give you two. So I love Trillium, which is up
So
so good, too good.
good.
But locally, right here in Fall River, Troy City Brewery is a friend of mine who
Oh, nice.
I just think it's I th just think it takes a lot of guts to try to do that, and he's pulled it off. But to answer your question, my chapter of Networking Group USA. So Networking Group USA is an organization that's growing, where people have chapters and it's one profession per seat in every chapter. It's just a more effective and efficient model we created. It's a virtual model, only two meetings a month, and then you build those relationships one to one, which is where the business is really done, as you know. But if you look at my chapter, which is the South Coast chapter of Networking Group USA, all of those people that have those businesses you just asked about, I've vetted them. I know them as people, I know them as professionals. Just about all of them I've utilized in one way, shape, or form. From Molly B's Bakery here in, Berkeley, Massachusetts, small businesses like that to larger businesses like financial planning and wellness, et cetera. My chapter, those are the people that I refer because I know them, I trust them, and I like them. And I know if I refer them, they're going to be a great reflection of me as the person who referred them. So that's how
Absolutely.
I would answer that question.
Oh, I love it. Don, this
Sure.
has been such an awesome episode, and I've really appreciated having the opportunity to have you come on and share everything that you're doing with our audience. And now I'd love if you could share where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. My website is prospectingintel, intel.com. So that's one spot. I'm also on Facebook, because I'm old. So I'm on Facebook. You can find me, Don Wilson, Prospecting Intelligence. That's the easiest way to get in touch with me. Send me a message. All of my contact information is right on my website. So.
Perfect. And I will link to those places in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for being a guest today.
Truly was a pleasure. Thank you so much. I hope I wasn't too long-winded in my storytelling, but thank you for doing what you do. Wonderful job, Ashley. Thanks so
Yeah,
much.
my pleasure. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.